Well, now this time, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 6. We will read Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. Our text for the sermon will be the first part of verse 21 and also the first part of verse 25. Beginning in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 20, hear now the Word of God. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us now pray. Our God, bless this word to us, strengthen our hearts by it, and give us all that is necessary to hear your word and also to listen to it, to put it into practice, that we might bring you glory. O God, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I am hungry. I need a snack. I am hungry. May I have a snack? Now, as a child, I'm sure that I said that to my parents many times. And now, as a parent, I'm on the receiving end of this request. I'm hungry. May I have a snack? And as my parents probably responded to me, so I am responding to my own children with that tried and true answer, no. You're going to spoil your appetite. Now, the word consumption means to buy, to eat, to drink. And we as humans are naturally born consumers, aren't we? We consume. And the question, therefore, is not, are you consuming, but what are you consuming? Satan wants you to be so full of the world's delicacies that you become numb to spiritual truth. And he has and will continue to succeed in leading many people down that path to the destruction of their soul. And even for those that he cannot destroy, those who are securely in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will certainly attempt to derail you from serving the Lord. In other words, Satan wants you to be fat and happy now so that you'll be famished and heartbroken later. But God offers a different plan. God wants you to hunger now so that you will be filled later. He offers a different type of nourishment, not the junk food of the world. But he offers the heavenly food of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2, he commands us to come and to buy wine and milk. Wine signifying that joy that comes from fellowship with him, and milk signifying that sustaining work that he does in building us up through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this call to come and to buy wine and milk is contrary to the call of the world. The world says, come and invest in the junk food that I offer. But unlike the junk food of this world, which may cost you your soul, this costs you nothing. Because it has already been paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with money, not with silver and gold, but with His precious blood. And Jesus invites everyone to come, all who are thirsty, all who are hungry. And He promises that He will satisfy everyone who comes to Him. To not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to not partake of such a great offering, would be a foolish thing to do. Are you missing out on this great blessing? Are you missing out on this blessing because you are so focused on consuming the things of the world? I hope you are not. But if you are, let this message be a wake-up call to you that causes you to reflect upon your life and to make the necessary changes to seek Christ, to seek to consume Him and not consume the things of the world. As we come to Luke chapter 6, we are in the middle of a five-part series on Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26, dealing with these Beatitudes, these four blessings, and these four woes that our Lord Jesus pronounces. He has come down from the mountain after calling the 12 apostles. He has healed those who were sick. He has healed those with unclean spirits. And now He begins to teach. And He teaches here who is blessed and who is cursed. Those who are in Christ are already blessed. And all of these blessings belong to them. But those who are outside of Christ only can expect woes to be pronounced against them. Our message last week focused upon those who are rich, those who are trusting in the riches of this world, and how those who trust in the riches of this world reveal that they have nothing in their eternal bank account. Now this week we'll look at those who are over-consuming the things of this world. Those who are over-consuming the things that the riches of this world buy, the goods of this world. And that those who do risk going without in the next. But if you find your satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never go without. You will not go without in this life, and you will certainly not go without in the next. And so as we look at verses 21 and 25 of Luke chapter 6, I want you to understand this truth. If you are truly living for Christ, you will consume more of Him than you consume of the world. If you are truly living for Christ, you will consume more of Him than you consume of the world. And in doing so, two things will be true of you. You will hunger for more of Christ now. And you will be satisfied with all of Christ later. You will hunger for more of Christ now. To hunger for more of Christ now, you need to reduce your worldly consumption. We see here that there are dangers for those who engage in consuming the things of the world. The first thing I want you to notice is that overconsumption has resulted in the spiritual death of many. Verse 25, woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who are full. This is a picture of those who do not reduce their worldly consumption. On the contrary, they increase it, they trust in it, they find their satisfaction in it. They are so full of the world that they have lost all desire for God. They are fed to the full, as Psalm 73 verse 7 says. Their eyes bulge, their hearts have more than they could wish. Philippians 3:19 describes them as those whose God is their belly. In Numbers chapter 11, we read of the children of Israel who were in the wilderness, who had the manna coming down from heaven, provided by God, and yet they complained against God. They complained against Moses. They wanted to go back to Egypt and eat those delicacies. And God answered their prayer. He gave them meat. Quail was sent. But while that meat was in their mouths, between their teeth, a plague broke out and they died. They were not content with what God had provided, and they sought satisfaction elsewhere. And the sad reality is that there are many people in this world who will hear the gospel offer of Christ who are too full of the things of this world to receive Him. And they will only receive judgment. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 11 speaks of this. The prophet Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 11. He addresses, "You are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for Gad, and who furnish a drink offering for Minai." And here's what will happen to those who forsake the Lord in verse 13. "Therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. My servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed." That is the picture of judgment that God provides for those who seek to find satisfaction in the things of the world. They will not be satisfied. And when people become so full of the world, there is a very real danger that God may even cause a famine, not of the good things of the world, but of His very Word. We read that in the prophet Amos. Amos in chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord." Brothers and sisters, I'm not so sure that this will not come soon in our country. I'm not so sure that it is not already beginning in our country. Perhaps it already has. Such is the result of those who seek satisfaction from the world instead of satisfaction where it is to be found alone, that is, in the Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator describes these individuals in this way: when they have left the satisfaction of this world, they will never be satisfied again. For all the delights of sense which they are now so full of will in hell be denied. Another says this: those who are well fed in this life will spend eternity with a maddening ache that can never be assuaged, a burning thirst that can never be quenched, a ravaging hunger that can never be alleviated. Certainly, overconsumption has and will continue to result in the spiritual death of many. There's a second danger to engaging in this overconsumption of the world, and this danger is something that we as Christians ought to be aware of. Certainly, Satan can do nothing. He cannot take us. He cannot snatch us out of the hand of our God. And we praise Him for that. But although the devil can never destroy the true Christian, he can and does desire to make us useless for the kingdom. And one of the ways that he does that is through tempting us to become consumers, that is, to become over-consumers of the things of the world. And overconsumption of the things of the world will certainly result in your spiritual drowsiness. Think of that great meal we have in November, that great Thanksgiving feast. And I don't know about you, but I know that I have eaten a lot, too much. And what happens? You eat that wonderful meal and then you go and you make the mistake of sitting down and you start to fall asleep. You have what some have called that turkey coma. Well, just like eating too much and then sitting down on Thanksgiving causes you to have a physical laziness, that turkey coma, so consuming the world will lead to a spiritual coma. We see this even in the church, that description of the church in Revelation in chapter 3, verse 17, Laodicea, the only church that Jesus has nothing good to say about is one who thinks that they are rich, who thinks that they are full, but they are really poor and they are really starving to death. The church in Corinth, a church that had many problems, Paul addresses them in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. And he says to them, you think that you are filled. You think that you have received everything. And yet you must realize that you have nothing. Christians who are over-consuming the world are no good to the kingdom of God. We might put it this way. Over-consumption is the devil's anesthetic by which he numbs us to the things of Christ. Are you like that person who, having eaten too much on Thanksgiving, is so tired that they cannot get off the couch? Is that you spiritually? Are you so invested in the world and in consuming the things of the world that you have become spiritually lazy? That can easily happen to any of us. We need to wake up. We need to understand that we need to get up. We need to do what God has called us to do, and that is not an easy thing to do. It requires real discipline, spiritual discipline. But let me encourage you, it is worth it. It is worth it. Because when you hunger for Christ, you will be blessed. Your spiritual appetite will change. As you move away from the things of the world, as you stop consuming those things that have taken up your time, you will lose your taste for the things of the world. And as you do so, you will grow in your taste for the things of God. The things that once seemed so sweet of the world will seem bitter. And the things that once seemed so far off will become sweet to you as you fellowship with God. Your spiritual appetite will change and your spiritual health will improve. This is true in the physical world. If you want to lose weight, then you must eat less. So also with the consumption of the world. If you consume less of the world, you will lose those things that weigh you down in the world. Those things that Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 describes as every weight, every sin which so easily ensnares us, those things will fall away. Because you're no longer allowing them to come in and weigh you down. Have you been distracted by the world? What are you consuming of the world that is hindering you from consuming more of Christ? Here's the challenge that I give to you. I want you to think of one thing. Take a moment to think of one thing. One thing in this world that you have invested too much time in. One thing that you might be willing to go without. One thing. Do you have that one thing identified? Now the challenge is to go without it. And when you think, even in this moment, about going without that thing, what does your flesh say to you? How does your flesh respond? That's going to tell you a lot about how, whatever it is that you've identified, how far it has its hooks in you. But that is the challenge. Go without it. Because those who are living for Christ will hunger more and more for Christ now. As we read in Luke chapter 6 and verse 21. Luke chapter 6 and verse 21. Blessed are you who hunger now. Blessed are you who hunger now for the Lord Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, let me offer you this great encouragement. If you truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are united to Him, then I am convinced of much better things for you. You will forego the junk food of the world because you know that a great banquet awaits you. Not only will you hunger for more of Christ now, but you will be satisfied with all of Christ later. You'll be satisfied with all of Christ later. Blessed are you who hunger now. And Jesus goes on, for you shall be filled. You'll be satisfied with all of Christ later. Point out two things here to you. What you will gain is more than enough to offset any earthly loss. What you lose here, what you hunger for here, we're told is temporary. Blessed are you who hunger now in the present. That means that that hunger will not continue forever. For you shall be filled. This gain is eternal. I want you to contrast that eternal gain with any temporary loss. It's a good description of this in Psalm 107 and verse 9. Here's what God promises to do for His people. Psalm 107 verse 9. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. What you gain is more than enough to offset any loss on this earth. But what you gain is more than enough to satisfy you forever. To satisfy you forever. This is because you are invited to a feast at the king's table. Remember Mephibosheth, remember that son of Jonathan, an enemy, a grandson of Saul, an enemy of King David. And yet what did King David do in 2 Samuel and chapter 9? He sought him out. And although Mephibosheth had two lame feet, although he could not serve David in any meaningful way, David said, come and feast at my table. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, that greater David, does for us. As lame as we are, Jesus invites us, miserable sinners, to come and to feast at His table. Psalm 23 verse 5 says that He prepares that table in the midst of our enemies. You are invited to feast at the king's table. You're invited to feast upon the king's food. This is food that is prepared by God Himself. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 25 and verse 6. Isaiah 25 and verse 6. We read, and in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. God is preparing this food Himself, and this is food which truly satisfies. Truly satisfies. Isaiah in chapter 49 and verse 10. God speaks of His people. And He tells us in Isaiah 49 verse 10, they shall neither hunger nor thirst. Neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for He who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water He will guide them. Neither hunger nor thirst. And again, in that passage we read earlier out of Isaiah 65 and verse 13, remember the contrast between the servants of the Lord and others. The Lord of hosts says, my servants shall eat. My servants shall drink. My servants shall rejoice. You see how satisfied we are to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of this as an all-you-can-eat buffet, but there is no danger of overconsumption. There is a great danger of overconsuming the things of the world, but there is no danger of overconsuming Christ. Because this food is not only prepared by God, this food is not only food that satisfies, but this food is Christ Himself. He is that bread from heaven to which the manna pointed. Remember in John chapter 6, after He had fed the multitudes, they came back to Him. And He says to them in John chapter 6 in verses 26 and 27, that they have come for the wrong reasons. They have come seeking the bread, the physical bread that He provided, when they should be seeking Him. Brothers and sisters, do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for what you can get from Him. No, come to the Lord Jesus Christ because you get Him. He is the one that you are to seek. You're invited to feast at the King's table, to feast upon the King's food. But lastly, you are invited to feast with the King Himself. This final feast is a future feast. Jesus, in Luke 22, verse 16, tells His disciples that He will no longer eat of it or drink of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This final feast is a wedding feast. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. References this great and glorious feast that awaits us. Revelation 19 and verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. And it was to her, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then He said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. This final feast is a wedding feast. But not only that, it is an intimate feast with our Lord. Not only as a guest at this feast, but as we read here, as a bride. As a bride. As those who are arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. A wife who has made herself ready. Invited to feast with the King Himself as His church, as His bride. Jesus brings out this truth in Luke chapter 12, verse 37. He says, blessed are those servants whom the Master, when He comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that He will gird Himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. That is what awaits us, brothers and sisters, that final feast with the King Himself. We ought not to trade anything in this world for that great and glorious privilege, that great and glorious satisfaction that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's difficult to do that because the junk food of this world is appealing. It looks good. And it's difficult to avoid gorging ourselves upon it. And so I want to tell you today what I tell my children. Don't spoil your appetite. There are many who are so full of the world that they cannot and will not bother to feast upon the glorious bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be as those people. As Christians, we are not called to live like that. If you are truly in Christ, if you are truly united to Christ, if you are living for Christ, then you will consume more of Him than you consume of the world. That will be the pattern of your life. You will hunger more for Him now and you will be satisfied. You'll be satisfied with all of Him later. That's the question that I want to leave you with. Are you hungry for for more of Christ? Are you hungry for more of Christ, or have you become so full of the world that you have no room left for the things of God? Has Satan put you under with the anesthetic of overconsumption? Has he made you numb to the glory of Christ? Wake up from your spiritual coma. Wake up and see and seek that eternal gain. That eternal gain that is worth it, that will repay you no matter what your loss here on the earth is. Your gain in heaven is greater. And remember this, you are invited as God's people, not only to sit at the King's table, not only to eat of the King's food, but most importantly, to fellowship with the King Himself. This is what it means to be filled, even though you hunger now. And may our God fill you to the full through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we confess that we have often looked to this world. We have gorged ourselves on the things of this world. We have overconsumed them. And we have left little room for You. Forgive us for this and cause that hunger in us to well up even this day. That we might hunger now more for You, and that we might rejoice in the reality that we will be satisfied when we have all of You. Oh God, we long for that day. We long for that day where we will know as we are known, where we will see You face to face. Keep us, God, as we seek now to serve You. Oh God, and provide all that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.